Well, hey, good morning, and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. You're listening to The Dan McDonald Show, and something we talk about often on the show is housing. We talked about it before the pandemic, and then the pandemic, it kind of gave it a bit of a tailspin. Really important event that is a conversation about our city happening tonight. Ontarians on the Move, a community discussion with Mike Moffitt. So economist Mike Moffitt of the Smart Prosperity Institute is going to be joining members of the community for a really fun, engaging evening on Maiden Lane. I love Maiden Lane. To collaborate on what our rapid population growth and our housing price inflation mean for our community, and how do we even begin to respond? Because we have an issue right now. Joining us on the phone to talk about it is lawyer and municipal service consultant with clients across Ontario, owner of Monroe Strategic Perspective, also former employee of the City of Windsor and a committed Windsor city builder and booster, and one of the sponsors of the event, Melinda Monroe. Melinda, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Doing fantastic. So the event is tonight. I have a lot of questions for you. Tell us a bit about the conversation tonight, because housing inflation, housing in general, is huge, not just in Windsor, Essex, but everywhere. What's happening tonight on Maiden Lane?
Well, tonight we have this terrific opportunity to hear from one of Ontario, in fact, one of Canada's premier economists, talking about municipalities and growth in municipalities. And he is going to be talking to us about what's driving our local rapid population growth and our rapid housing price inflation, and what his research is telling us about why that's happening. And then we've put him together with a panel of people who can then, on behalf of all of us in Windsor, ask him some questions about, well, if all that's true, what do we do? How do we take advantage of it? How do we mitigate some of the potential downsides of it? So that's what we're going to be talking about.
And you know, where did our population growth come from? Because I know I have a lot of friends who work in post-secondary and a lot of international students, which is great for schools, but it had a huge impact on housing. Is that a big, I don't want to say that's part of a problem, because it's great having people come here, but is that part of our issue with housing, is we weren't really prepared, do you think, for such an influx?
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's what Mike's research was showing. So we got a look at his early research, and he was talking about how the students coming into Toronto were taking up a tranche of housing in Toronto and driving people out of the city. And so we called it Drive to Qualify. And so people were moving to Waterloo and Oshawa and Whitby and places like this. But he says, that's not true here in Windsor. We're not getting a lot of people coming out of the GTA. Our population growth is being driven mostly by immigration. The immigration is being driven mostly by international students who are coming in their numbers, five or more thousand per year, every year, and then staying, some of them at least, and then people coming home from the oil fields. So we've had this huge population surge in the last 5 years, driven by those three things, and we haven't planned for it. I mean, the federal government made this decision to say, go ahead, university college, recruit as many international students as you can bring in. And they didn't say to the municipality, here's how you're going to cope with your transit, your housing, jobs, right, all of the things that you need to support that. So his research is basically going to give us the background of how that happened and why that happened. And then our panel includes people who are housing experts, like Amy Patel from Community Housing, Eric Hill from Can-Am Urban Native Housing, Councillor Borland from the municipality. We're going to have Laurie Atkinson from the Libro on the lending side, like how is she supporting people who are struggling to afford housing here. And then finally, we're going to have Hugo Vega, who's with the newcomer services sector, you know, talking about how are they trying to support the international students and the newcomers to kind of blend into this rapidly changing environment we have.
It really is. And it's an amazing panel of guests, too. I love that. And I love the idea, too, of an outside expert engaging with local experts and people who live here. Why is it, do you think, it is so important to get an outside expert's view? I mean, I almost feel like one of two things can happen. Either an outsider sees what is right there that maybe those of us who live here are so immersed in, it's hard to see, or we get compared to other places, and that all isn't always fair, too, especially with a place like Windsor. But the importance of having an outside expert included in this kind of conversation.
It's really important. And actually, I think, you know, I can even say from my own perspective, when Mike gave his first talk here in July, he did a virtual talk for the university. I fully expected him to talk about people coming from the GTA, because that's this anecdotal story we tell ourselves. But he said he looked at his numbers across Ontario, and it really surprised him that, you know, the GTA was having an impact on London, but south of London, all the population growth is coming from immigration. Yeah. And that's a very different portfolio or a different view. And I wouldn't have believed it until he put up his spreadsheets and showed us the numbers. Right. So I think that outside expert sees things we don't see. We hear the anecdotal stories and we make up a story and we work with that. But if we have an expert who says, no, no, what you're seeing is not what you're really seeing. The second thing that's important about this tonight, too, is, though, it's a community-driven conversation, right? We're not having, you know, we don't have the mayor, we don't have the president of the university or the president of the college. We have people who are, like, literally working in the sectors that are trying to cope and trying to figure out what to do. And we're driving from the grassroots up, using his expert guidance to drive from the grassroots up the kind of policy we want our municipality and our college or university, our federal immigration policy. What we want it to be. We're here to try and gather that and send it up rather than listen to some expert from the federal government tell us what they're going to do without listening to us.
Right. And this is some of the hurdles that we face too with housing here in Windsor. It comes up often on the show, if not even daily. And one of them, when it comes to affordable housing, I mean, funding has to be a struggle. The decisions, you know, in the late 90s to download provincial services to municipalities, I mean, it sounds good on paper, municipalities taking care of their own, but are the funds there to even properly handle it? Should this be, to some extent, a provincial issue too?
For sure, it should be a provincial issue, absolutely. And so, and we're very excited. One of the reasons we're excited to have Amit Patel and Eric Hill on our panel tonight is they're both with the Ontario Nonprofit Housing Association, and they're both in kind of growth mode. Community housing in particular is building, you know, they're building the new Meadowbrook building, which is the first new social housing units in the city for 40 years. And the city has invested $170 million in fixing up the existing social housing units. So it's a kind of a growth time that they've never seen before. What they want to do is say, how do we, you know, figure out what we're going to do with this population growth? Between the increase in housing, increasing their waiting lists, and then this increased population growth, where do we fit in as community affordable housing? How do we get developers to work with us to build the kind of housing that's in between rent geared to income and than the kind of housing that the average worker is going to live in.
Yeah, and that is something that also comes up on the show quite often is the average worker and building. I mean, I grew up personally just in a one-story, you know, no basement, wartime bungalow. And with all the new builds happening and urban sprawl and all that, I'm seeing big, huge houses being built, and I don't see any new bungalows being built at all. Are we building the right kinds of houses?
No, and that's, I think, what we'll be hearing quite a bit about tonight is that we're not building the right kind of housing. And part of it is the sprawl, and part of it is building housing where people want to live. So if I'm going to retire in my Walkerville house, I want to live in Walkerville where I can still go to the same hairdresser and the same doctor and the same pub. And so I need the kind of building that's been proposed, for example, in the corner of Kildare and Ottawa, like a little three-story walk-up apartments that are nice that I can live in and I can stay in my neighborhood, free up my house for another family. But we don't build housing that way. We don't build that middle ground housing, townhouses, small, like nice apartments for people to live in who don't want to live in big houses anymore, but who want to still be in the neighborhoods that they like. But we just, for some reason, that just hasn't been what we're building here. And so what we'll definitely hear today is build, 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 but build smart. Because, you know, one of the reasons Mike Moffat got into this research was most of his work is on green growth. And so he got really worried about the impacts of population growth on the green belt around the GTA. And he wanted to know what was driving the population growth and how could they protect the green areas around the GTA. We're losing 175 acres of green space a day in Ontario. So we have to figure out how to build the things people want to live in the neighborhoods they already live in.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of thinking out of the box. You know, something else that has come up and different people have come on who talk about it, toss this around, converting empty storefronts into housing. Is that something you think we need to look into?
That's an interesting idea. I think that's a housing innovation that we should be talking about. And thankfully, we have some housing innovators on our panel.
Right.
And also, infill housing like Sarah Sipkar is doing with the tiny houses. Joyce Zuck with Family Services Windsor Essex are trying to do a tiny house development. Windsor Essex Community Housing Corporation, is going to be on our panel. They're a huge housing developer solely owned by the City of Windsor. And I know that some of their board members have been talking a little bit about the idea of what if the city treated this as their own in-house developer and used community housing resources to start looking at what kind of properties in the city that the city could build on. So that's kind of really out of the box. But, I mean, the city owns its own developer in the form of a housing corporation. So what are the options there, too?
Yeah, and that's what I think we have to start doing, right, is starting to think out of the box a little bit and think about things that what we had. I mean, we've talked about different types of housing crises as people have had, too, and the lack of affordable housing. The wait list, I feel like we have so many people on the wait list for affordable housing than there are units. I mean, I think if every geared-to-income unit was vacant tomorrow, I'm not even sure if we could still house those who need it. So kind of out-of-the-box solutions need to kind of happen. And I don't want to keep harping on the province, but maybe this is too philosophical, I don't know. Does the province care? I mean, or is this the fallout we have from the Mike Harris common sense revolution? The optics, how I see it to be, the province is kind of out of sight, out of mind in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the money that's been coming into housing, and I'm not a 100% expert on housing, so perhaps one of the date limits you should have, Amit Patel or Hans Kogel on, they could talk to you about all that.
Yeah.
A lot of the funding is flowing through the province from the federal government. So it's coming from Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation. It's flowing through from there, and it's paid into the province through an agreement, and then it flows from the province out to the housing service managers, so the municipalities, and they decide, is it going to go to community housing? Is it going to labor-sponsored housing? Is it going to go to some of the other housing providers locally to build the kinds of housing that happens to be that what's in that particular grant?
Right.
For example, the one that's being built over in Meadowbrook is going to be a passive house design, which means it's going to be a zero net zero energy producer. So that's a CMHC requirement, which is part of why the cost of that building is higher than it might otherwise be.
Right.
So there's some really cool housing innovations going on, but they're all being funded federally. The province, I'm not the expert, but the province is basically just flowing through federal money at the moment.
Got you.